Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. It is that time of the year. Scary stuff in store as today we talk about Halloween horror stories, things that went wrong in real estate, and the lessons we can learn. Right here on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me on this spooktacular show, it is Russell Gray, our financial strategist and co-host.
Hey, Robert.
Today's program is so good, it's scary. For years and years and years, we have focused on all the great possible places you can go with real estate and things you can do, and we love to use case studies as example. And we taught our investor mentoring club for 10 years, and every October we would take those case studies and make the focus a little different, what we call Halloween horror stories, because stuff happens in real estate. Things go bad. There are things that happen that you wouldn't want to have happen, and they do, and many of us just want to ignore it, put it under the rug, and just leave it alone. But there's power in challenges. And when things go wrong, we want to learn from them. So this has been a tradition of ours for many, many years. Last year, we didn't do Halloween Horror Stories in October, and you guys called us on it. Our listeners said, hey, what happened to Halloween Horror Stories? So we've been doing this for years, and it's time to come back with a bang. And we really have an interesting twist this year on Halloween Horror Stories, but we're going to today share with you some things that hopefully you can learn a lot of great lessons from.
Absolutely. You hear all the time that you learn by doing, you learn by making mistakes. And that's true. And there's hair in every business. It's not just the real estate business. I mean, think about your personal life. Think about whatever you do in your professional life, if outside of your real estate investing. The fact of the matter is stuff goes wrong. And human nature is to get away from the pain as quickly as possible. I just want it to go away.
Yep.
But, you know, the old saying, no pain, no gain. And the thing is, you've already paid full price, right? Whatever happened, whatever price you were going to pay, you know, whatever money you were going to lose or whatever emotional anxiety you experienced, really, the bad part is over. Now, you may want to get away from it and move on and forget about it, but before you depart it, take a moment and debrief on exactly what happened, why it happened, what you did to resolve it, knowing what you know now, what you could have done perhaps to avoid it or get out of it quicker or mitigate or reduce the loss that you experienced because of it. The point is, get the lesson. You paid for the lesson, get the lesson. The important thing is to understand that these issues, these pains, these mistakes are really your friends. You know, Tom Hopkins taught me a long, long time ago, I never see failure as failure, but only the feedback I need to get better. And that's the key. As an investor, our continuing mission is to get better. And part of getting better is to spend the time to debrief on what went wrong and then figure out if there's anything we could have done. Sometimes stuff goes wrong and it's not your fault. There's nothing you could have done. You made the best decision going in that you could have made based on the information at hand and the level of investor you were at the time. Now, going through the process, you may learn some things where you're a better investor. Next time, you wouldn't make that same mistake. But the only reason you're better is because you did make the mistake.
Well, and things do happen that you have no control over. That's not what this show is about. This show is about when something happens, how you react to it, and then in the light of day, how could you react to it? So typically, the Halloween Horror Story would have what happened, what the problem was, what the solution or potential solutions were, and then what the lesson was, and there's power in that. And so this really grew out of a live presentation we did, a three-hour presentation where we just did a lot of case studies of challenges in properties. Then we'd come on the radio and we'd do an hour version of it, audio-wise, without the pictures and the video sometimes, just explaining the program. This year, to make up for missing last year, we have gone to our network of investors, and today you're going to hear from a lot of different investors about some of their most impactful Halloween horror stories. So we want you to, one, empathize with, wow, I can understand when something goes wrong. Be glad it was them and not you. But then really pay attention to how they thought, the process they went through, and what they learned.
Well, we used to call it group therapy. And part of it is, you know, real estate can kind of be a lonely business. And sometimes when things go wrong, you think, oh man, I'm the only guy in the world that has this problem. I must be the stupidest guy ever. And you get a little bit down on yourself. And the therapy is realizing that, hey, you know what? Other people have problems too. Other people have lived to talk about it. And actually, you can even laugh about it. And that's therapeutic. And the other thing that's powerful that we were always able to do when we were doing this in a live setting was hearing directly from the investors themselves. Because we'd come back on the radio and repeat what we'd heard from other people. It didn't quite have the impact. That's why I'm really excited about this format that we're doing today, because you get to hear directly from the people that experienced the problems.
All right, so let's get into it. Our first Halloween horror story is The Disappearing Equity. To share with you his terrifying tale of woe, please welcome from Atlanta, Georgia, our good friend, Mr. Ken Corsini. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing very good.
Now, as successful as you've been in real estate and all the wonderful things that have happened, and we go on the Atlanta field trip, we see a lot of stuff that you guys do well. I know it hasn't all been roses. And today, of course, we're talking about the lessons we learn in real estate. Tell us about your Halloween horror story.
All right. Well, I've got a doozy for you. So it was 2005. I had literally just quit my day job. I did a corporate job for 5 years out of school and decided I wanted to get into real estate. And in not knowing anything, not having much of any education, I was working with a real estate agent who had a hot deal in Decatur. Downtown Decatur was a hot, trendy, upcoming area. $412,000.
Wow.
Now, granted, I had just quit my day job. I had a little bit of home equity. That's about all I had. And apparently he had a tenant lined up for me that was going to pay just enough to cover the mortgage. So back in 2005, you could get a mortgage, you know, with a heartbeat. And that was about what happened. 100% financing. I had no business getting this mortgage. And even the worst part was it was with one of my good friends, told him it was a deal we couldn't pass up on. So of course I roped one of my good buddies into this deal. $412,000. We close on the house. The next day, the tenant tells me, you know what? I can't rent this house after all. Day one, no income, no rent income. So 2 years later, after a $3,000 mortgage payment every month, I sold it for about a $40,000 loss. All told, it was probably $100,000 in losses.
All right. So, of course, the whole mission of Halloween Horror Stories isn't for everyone to go, I'm sure glad I'm not Ken Corsini. It's, what's the lesson in that? What did you learn from that? Because obviously that didn't throw you off. You've kept at it and you've done a great job. So what was the lessons?
Well, it was $100,000 education was what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, the big takeaway was, I didn't do any research. I didn't know anything. I took a real estate agent's word for it. And obviously they've got a motivation to sell, not a motivation to make me money, and just didn't know better. Part of it was the market. You know, the market tanked. I didn't have a, you know, crystal ball to know what the market was going to do. But the reason for buying the house was wrong. I was way over leveraged and over my head. It should have just been I should have known better to do the due diligence, put myself in a better position for success. And you never buy a house because you got a tenant. You buy a house because the numbers work, because the house makes sense. So those are the big takeaways.
All right, good stuff. Well, thanks for sharing your misery with us. That's Ken Corsini. If you want to find out how you can come on one of our trips to Atlanta or engage with Georgia Residential Partners, you can go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click on resources. Our next Halloween horror story is called It's Raining Cats and Dogs, and it comes from property manager and renovator Greg Bond. Greg was on the show a couple of months ago sharing his tips for rehabbing, which he's been doing in the Orlando market for quite some time. Welcome back to the program, Greg.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
You know, the Halloween horror story aspect of this is really unfair when it comes to guys that have managed property, because there's so many. But share with us one of the most memorable horror stories that you've had in property management.
Robert, the one that sticks out in my mind, I had a husband and wife get a divorce. They had kids. They had two dogs, two cats. The husband left the home. The wife couldn't pay for the home. I had to evict the wife. She was scared, didn't know the eviction process, didn't know when she was going to have to leave. So she left early, moved in with her mother. The mother took the kids and her, but she wouldn't take the animals. So the wife left the two dogs and the two cats in the home with plenty of food and water, but didn't check on them quite frequently enough. And when I got control of the house, it was full of doo-doo.
P.U. All right. So, you know, this kind of thing, literally great crap happens. But, you know, this is an interesting situation because you didn't rent to the dogs and cats. And that brings up a whole topic of people's decision to rent to animals. I'm a big believer in renting to animals, people with animals, because of the fact that people generally who have animals stay longer in properties. And you take that person with two cats and two dogs, hard for them to move because other landlords aren't going to take them, right?
Absolutely.
So you take over the property and it's got all these issues. So what are the big lessons that you learned from going through this?
Well, one of the lessons, Robert, I had carpet in that particular property. And the carpet was total. I mean, there was no way you could clean that carpet with all that.
Oh, the carpeting, the padding, the underlayment, the wood, everything. Ugh.
Robert, we just rolled it up, hauled it outside, and I tiled that property. And that's how I got into tiling. I love tile. If that would have happened in a tiled house, you clean it up, you mop the floor, and you're done.
All right. Excellent stuff. You know, I think there's another important lesson here, Greg. I think there's a lot of folks, imagine this had happened on your second property, right? There's a lot of folks who might go, you know what? Landlording is just such a pain. I just forget it. I'm not going to do this. But that's not the approach you took. Instead, you kind of shrugged it off. You did what you had to do, and you kept your head in the game.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You can either cry and quit, or keep going. And it sure pays off to keep going, Robert.
Hey, while we have you here, one of the things Greg did for us, if you didn't catch the show back in September, Greg wrote a great report about tips from the trenches, and you can grab a copy of that by sending an email to tips@realestateguysradio.com. Greg, thanks for your Halloween horror story.
Thanks for having me again, Robert.
It's Halloween Horror Stories. This week on The Real Estate Guys, more devilish lessons when we return. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you've been listening to The Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. And you'll have a blast. Join Peter Schiff, Ken McElroy, Tom Hopkins, and the Real Estate Guys for the 13th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. It all begins March 5th, 2015 in Miami, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. The event is more than 80% sold out, so make plans to join us. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 13th Annual Investor Summit. Don't miss the boat.
Are you still sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out when and where you're going to buy those investment properties? Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Atlanta, Georgia is still on sale, but you better act fast because the deals are almost gone. Hey, this is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners, and I want you to know that there may not be a better investing opportunity than Atlanta right now. Listed as one of the fastest growing markets in the country, both in terms of jobs and population, Forbes predicts 26% appreciation over the next 3 years. At Georgia Residential Partners, we sell turnkey, cash-flowing investment properties. We also sell wholesale properties at insane discounts. We're launching a new home construction product this summer as well, and if you're still nervous about stepping out into another market, I will personally partner with you on a small portfolio of homes, if that's what it takes. Don't wait any longer. Check us out at gainvesting.com or call our office at 770-924-5450. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to The Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
And welcome back to our spooktacular show on Halloween Horror Stories, things that have gone wrong with properties. But more importantly, the lessons learned. Our next gentleman is not only a real estate investor, but a property manager. And property managers, by default, have awesome Halloween horror stories. This one's called Terror by Tenant. Please welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program from Michigan, Justin Bajima. How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you for having me today, Robert.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. Now, first of all, give the listeners a little background about the property management experience that you have.
Sure. So we have a property management company in West Michigan, and we manage over 300 different units. And this one particular story that's coming to mind here is very early on, I was hungry to grow the property management business and get some homes to manage. So at that point, you're trying to take on basically anybody you can to grow.
Yep.
And that was one fatal mistake I learned right there. So really, the story that I want to share with you is it's twofold. It's one from the investment point, but also from a property manager point. And what had happened was we took on a property that I didn't walk. It was somebody who was pretty prominent in the area as far as the investing community, who I assumed, incorrectly, was doing business the way that I thought business should be done. So we took over a 4-unit property. And within 2 months of taking over this property, we received a notice from the police department. And more importantly, it was from the SWAT team who had raided the house a drug raid. So right away, that's red flag number one. We went to the property and they actually had beat down the doors, went into the unit and took everybody out of there. And when we got there, there was trash about 3 to 4 feet tall, high throughout the whole home. On top of that, there was needles everywhere. And so right away, I walked in this property and I just had a newborn baby and you know, I'm seeing these needles. So my first thought is, okay, got to be careful. You don't want to get poked. And there's so much trash there. And what it was a heroin house. And people were basically just living there. And there's human feces on the ground. It was a disaster. And so they'd actually broken down into the basement. They filled up the basement full of trash as well, about 4 feet tall throughout the whole basement. So it literally cost us a couple thousand dollars to remove all the trash out of that home. So the lessons that I took away from this one here were numerous, to be quite honest with you here. But the first one is walk every property before you buy it or before you take it on to manage it.
Awesome.
Very important. Right.
Gotta see it. People are tempted today sometimes to, you know, it's not that buying a fairly inexpensive property, or I already own a lot of property, I'll buy it sight unseen. You're saying not a good idea.
Not a good idea. The second lesson was don't let your emotions get in the way of making a business decision. And so in this particular case, what had happened was the owner had a friend of the family who he allowed to move into the home. No credit checks were done, no background screening, nothing was done. So when we took over the management of this property, we were receiving his tenant that they put in and never did any background checks. That was a big mistake. So don't deviate from your processes. Do your background checks. Know who the tenants are that you're moving into a property. And if they would have done that, it would have saved them thousands of dollars, would have saved them from being a drug house and almost losing their home because of that drug raid. The third thing that I found is that know what product type you want to work with, because not all rental properties are the same. And so there's different types of product types that you have where that tenant pool is going to be a little bit different based on that product type. So in this particular case, the home was a little bit lower income than what I would have cared to have worked with.
Yeah.
And very quickly realized that good tenants don't move into bad properties. Clue number one for me there. And the reality is that this home was in disrepair and it was known as that kind of a drug house. And so it attracted that type of person. So like attracts like. So look at your product type, know who you want to do business with, because I believe that you become who you surround yourself with. So know who you want to work with. And then one of the major ones at this point in my life was, you know what, your life is not worth being risked. If you don't feel safe, if you don't feel comfortable, if you feel that you're in a bad area, don't do it. You know, you have to trust your gut. And sometimes when those bells and whistles are going off in your head and the bottom of your stomach, you just feel that something's not right, it's probably not right. And so, you know, life is too short. Don't do something that's going to risk your life intentionally. It's just not worth it. And then the last thing I found here is really just do business with people you like. It's about having fun. We work hard and play hard, but you don't want to do business with people you don't like and you're miserable. And the problem that we had is that after that drug raid, I went back to that client and said, this is what we found. And did you know that she was HIV positive? And they knew. And they never told me.
Wow.
And that just made my stomach drop. And I was so upset that, you know, they knew this critical piece of information because there's needles everywhere and they didn't tell us. And so not only for my safety, but for our maintenance guys that we put in there. And we use good procedures where we use the correct safety protocols, even though we didn't know it was HIV, but that just kind of resonated with me. You know what? Life is too short. Know who you want to work with, know what kind of product type you want to be in, and what kind of experience you want to have.
All right, great stuff. Well, there's so much we can learn when things go wrong, and this is a great example of not only the lessons, but I'm guessing this probably made you a better property manager.
Absolutely. Very early on, very quickly.
All right, thanks, Justin. Lots of great lessons to learn when things go wrong, as illustrated by our next Halloween horror story, All's Well That Ends Well. From Lancaster, Pennsylvania, please welcome multifamily real estate investor, Dave Zook. Dave, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on the show, Robert.
Absolutely. And I know it's hard to sometimes bring up these terrible things that have happened in the past, but let's have everyone learn from them. Tell us your Halloween horror story.
Yeah, so I've got a 5-unit apartment building, and one day I get this call saying, hey, we're out of water. So I have the well guys go out and check the well and see what's going on, and it's dry. So, okay, so it's a shallow well, and we're thinking, okay, we'll just dig a new well, a deep well. So we started digging, and we went down, I don't know, 750 to 1,000 feet, and we still didn't have water, so we brought the fracking crew in and fracked, trying to get water, and $20,000 later, we still don't have water.
Oh,
so,
man.
I'm on the phone with Mr. Bob Helms and some people with some great real estate backgrounds and experiences, and then we're going through the scenarios. You know, what's our next step? Some of those were, you know, worst case scenario. You know, you could gift the property to the Boy Scout Club or whatever.
Oh man!
So
a property with no water—that's a problem,
right? So. Ended up networking with a friend, and he knew of someone that was very good in that space, and he hooked us up with like 750 or 1,000 gallon holding tank, and we had to fill it to you know get us started. And with the holding tank, what was happening? The water was such a high demand at specific times that the well couldn't keep up, but with the 750 gallons of water on reserve, it would trickle in and give us what we needed. So we were able to get it fixed $20,000 or $30,000 later.
All right. So this is a huge lesson, and you would think you buy a property with a working well and the water works and it seems to all be good. So in hindsight, what might you do differently?
Well, for one thing, I have a new appreciation for public sewer and public water.
Yeah.
You know, when I went to buy this property, you know, a sales pitch from one of the providers was like, hey, you don't have, your monthly sewer bills. You don't have monthly water bills. And okay, great.
Right.
But turns out that was not a real good place to save money.
Well, and especially if you've got multiple tenants and they've got to be dislocated and now you're thinking about just scrapping the property. So sounds like a creative solution. But at the same time, going in, right? People don't save money on due diligence. Don't save money on assumptions. Let's just spend a little bit of time, right? Because when you were negotiating, had you been able to discover somehow that the well might not be sufficient, you might have had a negotiation with the seller as opposed to inheriting the whole problem on down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Do your due diligence up front, and don't be scared to get, or don't go cheap on that, and make sure that whoever your due diligence team is competent in that space.
Absolutely. Because what if you've never bought a property that has a well? That's a whole new reality for folks. And so if you don't have the area of expertise, find someone that does. Dave Zook, thanks for the great Halloween horror story.
Thanks for having me on, Robert.
All right, so some good lessons there. Lots of Halloween horror stories today. Our next Halloween horror story, sales can be murder. All right, so this story actually was in the national news, and it's a serious topic, and we've got some lessons from it. But first, Russ, tee us up to the story.
Well, I mean, it is a serious story, and we talked earlier at the top of the show about the whole idea of this being group therapy, and sometimes you can laugh at this. Things that go sideways, this isn't something you're going to laugh about, but it is an important lesson. So this is the story of a real estate agent named Beverly Carter. And you may recognize the name if you follow the news, because she was in the news recently because of what happened to her. And the short of it is she went to show a house.
She's a real estate professional.
Real estate agent in a rural, I believe, Arkansas. And she went to a showing of a vacant property with a client that she'd never met before. And she met him for the very first time at a property, and she met him alone. And sadly, she ended up dead. They found her body buried in a shallow grave nearby and later apprehended a guy that they allege did the crime. And I believe part of the interview was that he was actually preying upon her because she was a rich broker who worked alone. And real estate people, not just agents, but real estate investors often are out looking at property, driving neighborhoods, working alone. Sadly, there are predators out there, not a lot, but some that are aware of that. And obviously, Beverly isn't here to talk about it. There's been all kinds of talk in the real estate press about what agents should be doing to protect themselves from these types of things. And these lessons are very applicable to property managers. I mean, you never know when you're going to go serve an eviction notice, or you're going to try and collect on late rent, or you're going to meet somebody who you've never met before to show a property to a prospective tenant.
Or if you're just a wholesaler and you're out looking for deals and knocking on doors, a lot of people scare up business that way by looking for, you know, properties in maybe tougher areas, or when there's a vacancy or a boarded up home. There's all kinds of places where there could be dangers. So I think let's focus on a couple of different routes, because there's definitely lessons we want everyone listening to get. You may say, well, I'm not a broker and I'm not going to go to an empty house, but it's bigger than that. It's always being aware and making sure you're planning for the worst.
Well, yeah, exactly. When it comes to, I mean, we're optimists, right? You go into the world and you think, okay, I'm going to do this deal. I'm going to make money. This is the plan. Everything's going to work out. And of course, we're optimists. And one of the big things you have to do in a balanced approach in anything, investing in life, is be a realist. You have to anticipate the things that could go wrong and have mitigation strategies. In this case, you know, you can't ever let your guard down. You have to be situationally aware. In investing, you have to be aware that the market could turn against you, even though everything looks great. Interest rates could work against you. You know, the loan that you were approved on, something could happen. You always need to have kind of a plan B. When you're out there showing property, or you're driving neighborhoods that could be a little bit rough, you cannot afford to be focused on your texting or listening to the radio or busy chatting on the phone if you aren't aware of your surroundings. You can't put yourself in a situation where you're vulnerable, especially where there's a chance. You don't have to run around being paranoid or skeptical or cynical all the time, but you do have to be smart. And so there's been all kinds of talk about what Beverly might have done, you know, the buddy system, making sure that she met the guy at the office first.
Yep.
And so other people knew who he was. Or maybe there've been talk about, before you show a property, you get a driver's license and identity and put that on file in the office. And maybe even there's cameras in the office, security cameras, so that whoever you're with has actually been seen. I don't know. We want to turn it into a paranoid police state. And so I'm not saying that we have what the answer is, but I think the one thing that's common to everything, not just these types of situations where you're personally in danger, but in your general investing at all, and it goes back to what I said earlier, which is situational awareness. Just be aware of what might go wrong, and then stay aware for the signs that it is going wrong, and then don't be slow to take preemptive steps to protect yourself.
You know, I remember when I was in the brokerage business and we were selling real estate, and a friend of ours offered to come do a self-defense class for realtors. I said, that's an awesome deal. He came and he taught a group of 20 realtors some simple self-defense moves. So at the very least, that's excellent training. In areas like this, we know of a couple of property managers in our world who are licensed to carry firearms.
Right.
And because they work in those kinds of areas, they don't just take a gun with them. What they do is they get trained to use a gun. And
right.
I know you have feelings about this.
I totally do, because there's been record gun sales over the last 4 or 5 years, and many people feel safe because they have a gun. Having a gun doesn't mean you're qualified to use it, doesn't mean that you're safe. In fact, in some regards, you could say you're the biggest risk to you and your loved ones if you own a gun and you're not trained. And so, you know, we're not saying you should get a gun or you should carry a gun. We're saying if you have a gun, it probably makes sense to take the next step and get trained, the same as you would with a car. If you were going to drive a big truck or a bus, if you're going to operate a boat, if you're going to operate any piece of equipment that has the potential to hurt somebody, make sure you get trained. In fact, we say that before you go out and invest your portfolio, get trained. I mean, there's no reason you shouldn't make the investment in getting trained in personal defense. And there are people out there who do that, and especially women, you know, especially women. Because, I mean, it is what it is, right? People pray, and women tend to get victimized more often than men. Not saying it couldn't happen to men, but it does. And so the idea is that make it a priority as part of your personal development plan, not just to work on the optimistic side of life, but there is a dark side of life that sadly we do have to prepare for. And in this particular case, and we're not criticizing anybody because we don't exactly know what happened or exactly how it happened, but the wake-up call is that it can be a very dangerous business when you're out there showing property to people you haven't met in vacant property. Sometimes, I mean, we were out on a field trip one time and we pulled up to a vacant property in a rough neighborhood that we were showing as part of, this is the before picture, and this is later on, it's going to be a beautiful property with a tenant. But the guy who was leading the tour told us, well, let me go in first because I've had a problem with squatters. Well, some squatters are just, they're there and they're just hanging out, and you kick them out and they go away with their tail between their legs or whatever. But you never know. You know, if I knock on a door because somebody's in a distressed situation and it's a pre-foreclosure opportunity and I want to try to help them get out of their pre-foreclosure opportunity, they might not view me as their savior. They might view me as a predator. And if they, you know, are prone to violence and I'm not prepared for that eventuality, I could put myself in danger. So again, it just goes back to being situationally aware and trained to handle different situations and then doing your very best to avoid those situations. So even though you have perhaps a weapon or you have the training, put yourself in a situation where you don't have to use it.
Crimes happen when there's motive and opportunity. And what we're talking about is just not giving the opportunity. Don't meet someone alone. Don't go there at night in the dark. You know, we have a property manager in a state that we do field trips to, and they have every prospective tenant come to the office and exchange their driver's license for keys. Now, some property managers like to show a property, but in their practice, this company says, no, we want to know who they are. We know they're not going away if we have their driver's license. We're going to get the keys, and then they get a chance to see and video everyone that comes in. Just prudent steps. Just think through it. Don't spend all your time dwelling on it, but let's not have Beverly's death be a complete waste. If we can learn from it, if it can save one person by being a little more prudent, that's a great thing.
And obviously our condolences go out to Beverly and her family. Beautiful woman, very successful person, and just a tragic, tragic loss.
Big loss to real estate, so let's keep that in the proper perspective. We're talking today about things that go wrong, and when they do, what we can learn from that. It's Halloween Horror Stories today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way to ensure that 2015 is your best year yet? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Creating Your Future, the 2015 Goals Retreat, January 9th to 11th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend event has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click on events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track, physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2015 Goals Retreat on the second weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today. Memphis, Tennessee is a market that delivers in more ways than one. As home to FedEx, Memphis is one of the largest distribution hubs in the world. That means working class jobs. No wonder Memphis is one of the best cash flow real estate markets in America. And the guy in Memphis who can deliver great, affordable cash flow turnkey properties is Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's tips for turnkey rental property investing. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey at realestateguysradio.com. That's turnkey at realestateguysradio.com. Welcome back to this ghastly edition of the Real Estate Guys radio program. It's Halloween Horror Stories, things that go wrong in real estate and the lessons we can learn so we become better, stronger investors. Lots of great Halloween horror stories ahead. Before we continue, it's time to play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. You're going to need help from Ken McElroy. He's written a great book called The ABCs of Real Estate Investing, and that's your prize if you know today's real estate trivia question. And of course, it has something to do with Halloween, specifically with trick or treating. Before we get to this week's question, last week on The Real Estate Guys, we had attorney Mona Shaw talking about the EB-5 program. We asked this, Barclays Center in New York is home to what major sports team? Well, the arena hosts the National Basketball Association's Brooklyn Nets, which of course were formerly the New Jersey Nets, and before that, the New York Nets. Beginning in 2015, Barclays Center will also be the home of the New York Islanders of the National Hockey League. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. The first wrapped penny candy in the U.S. was the Tootsie Roll, originally produced in a small store in New York. In what MSA is the company headquartered today? Where in the world is Tootsie Roll Industries? If you think you know or just want to take a guess, send us your answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Be sure to include your name and your physical mailing address so that if you're the winner, we can send you a copy of Ken's great book, The ABCs of Real Estate Investing. That's today's real estate trivia question. This week, we're focusing on the negative, all the stuff that goes terribly, horribly wrong in real estate, so we can get the lessons. Our next Halloween horror story is called Cuts Like a Knife. To tell us the story from Houston, Texas, please welcome international real estate investor, Dr. Eric Tate. How are you, Eric?
I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, we have lots of great positive opportunities that happen in real estate, but we also have some of the other. Tell us about your Halloween horror story, Eric.
Oh, we had just purchased a small apartment complex in a not-so-great area of town, and one of the residents had some rowdy guests over on a fairly regular basis, and it just so happened there was a fight between a current resident and the guests of this other resident, and one of my current residents ended up being stabbed to death.
Stabbed to death.
Yes.
All right. Murder in the apartment. Ow. So tell us what happened after that.
Ooh. After that, it was a mess. And it was a mess, literally. But there were a couple of good things and bad things. The good thing is we had our entities in place for privacy. And so it did not come back as Dr. Eric Tate on the evening news, owned an apartment complex where someone was stabbed.
Good.
And it changed our policies in that, you can get something called a trespass affidavit for people who do not live on the property but cause problems. That on site, you can call the police and those people will be arrested. And so we put in some policies in place to make sure something like this never happened again.
So from a global perspective, you have lots of rental real estate. Obviously, tenant screening pretty important. How do you screen around how rowdy a person is and what kind of friends they have?
You can't. You just have to make a policy, especially when it comes to apartments, very much different than single family structures. You just have to have a policy of quiet hours, which we have in place, and that violating those rules are grounds for eviction.
Yeah, that's obviously critically important. As you're looking out there at the variety of neighborhoods you might go into, one of the things we talk about in personal investment philosophy is the continuum of the property type, with there being, you know, really high-end properties with high-end tenants and maybe lower returns, working the way down to more difficult places to be in. And that all works, right? That's all real estate. There's lots of different ways to play. But what has this done for your personal investment philosophy in figuring out what kind of tenant base you want to cater to?
Well, interesting. In my particular market, is clearly a C-class property, and I like giving people clean, affordable, functioning housing. And so what we did was we turned all the tenants over. We are definite believers in screening of tenants no matter what socioeconomic class they're in. And then we also banded together with the other apartment owners in the area. And so while it is still a C neighborhood, those types of incidents no longer occur because we've banded together individually and along with the local police force to put in best practices. So the neighborhood now is lower socioeconomic, but not as dangerous as it had once been.
Yeah, word about this kind of a stuff in a neighborhood travels fast, right? So maybe to make the evening news, which is good, but certainly the folks in the area knew that something was up. So when you see a shift in that, that can be a cause to rally around.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this one actually did make the evening news on all the channels. So that was, again, a very interesting time and very early in the investing career. So
anytime your property appears in the news, that makes grounds for a great Halloween horror story. So Eric, thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
Other people's horror can obviously teach us valuable lessons. Our next Halloween horror story is called Words to Live By. It comes to us from seasoned real estate investor Michael Keefe from the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. Michael, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Robert.
It's great to have you on the program.
Great
now,
to be here.
For folks who don't know, you're one of our providers, one of the guys that helps educate people about the Atlanta market when we go on the field trip, and it's been awesome to get to know kind of your background. Your background is actually in tax sales.
Yes, Robert. Our company, Grayfield Resources, has been buying tax deeds in Georgia since 1997. It's always been a very interesting business, but you know, it's not all ups, sometimes down too.
Well, it is one of those things you really have to get educated on, which we've certainly spoken about. So tell us the Halloween horror story. What happened?
So we had purchased a piece of property at a tax sale that we ended up owning. It was a piece of land in Southwest Atlanta in a area that turned really hot after we bought the property. So great for us.
So far,
we were
so good.
Really excited. And, you know, when we had bought it, we thought it was a $200,000 piece of property. And as time went by, we went through the process of clearing title and getting insurable title to our property. By the time that process was done, we had a property that was worth $600,000. But in the meantime, we had done a contract with a guy contingent on clearing the title. And we tried to save a few dollars, as many real estate investors do, by cobbling together a contract. Because, you know, who needs those attorneys? They complicate things and they're really expensive and they slow you down.
Copy and paste works
exactly.
Just fine, right?
You know, it's the real estate investor way. Well, we did that and then we omitted a very essential phrase to a contract. These words are indelibly left on my brain. Time is of the essence. Those little words came to be crucial in this case and actually held up our $600,000 sale for 9 months while we litigated with a guy. In the litigation included a trip to depose him in the Seminole County, Florida jail, which was an additional expense, by the way, because I had to pay for my attorney and all that to go to Florida
sure.
for the privilege. And ultimately, we settled for $50,000. So time is of the essence, cost us 50 grand.
Wow.
And the lesson learned is there is always time and money for a competent legal opinion.
It's the ounce of prevention.
It is.
Right? Be careful anytime you're trying to save money in a real estate deal because there's always a cost. All right. Well, thank you for your candor. That's a great lesson and we'll pass that on. And it's great having you on the show today.
Thank you, Robert.
All right. If you want a chance to meet Michael, you can do that when the Real Estate Guys head to Atlanta. Check our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. It's Halloween Horror Stories today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beyourbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone without obligation can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beyourbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beyourbank.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. And while U.S. real estate continues to drop, Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Donald Trump, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. It's Halloween Horror Stories, things that go desperately, terribly wrong with property, and the great lessons we can learn from it. And I have a special treat for you today. Many, many years ago, more than 25 years ago, I started my career in real estate sales, and often talk about my first broker. First day at the job, he said, Robert, here's your desk, and there's the phone, and there's the door. And I looked at him, and he said, you know, nobody in here, they're all real estate agents. They're not going to buy anything from you. The buyers and sellers are outside Go get him. And if you've heard the show for a while, you've probably heard me tell that story. Let me introduce you to that very man. This is our good friend, a real estate broker and investor, Mr. Jerry Hicks. Hey, Jerry.
How you doing?
Good to see you, and great to have you on the show after all these years.
Well, thank you.
Now, today is not necessarily what's going right day. Today, we're going to talk about Halloween horror stories. And since you've been an investor for dozens and dozens of years, I know you have a ton. This one's called Dead Deals Do Tell Tales. Jerry, tell us your favorite Halloween horror story.
The worst thing that ever happened to me is buying a big piece of property with several fellows, and the main fellow was a crook.
Ah, now you obviously knew that in the light of day, but not at the time. So let's talk about the deal. This was a real estate syndication. You were putting together an opportunity to buy a property to a lot of folks.
Yes, we were doing 65 acres in Redwood City on the bay, and the project was going to be a complete center with retail and residential. The property was going to be a possibly about $175 million project on the other end.
And this was a few years ago.
Yes, this was 27 years ago, probably.
Wow, wow. Yeah. So you get the deal lined up and you go raise money and you find a bunch of guys, then what happens?
The first guy who was supposed to bring in his money didn't arrive with any money.
Whoops.
Didn't have any money to start with. And we couldn't figure out exactly what was going on with this guy, but he wasn't necessarily our kind of guy.
So you get down to the point, you're down to the wire, and you need to close, and you don't have the money, so what happens?
What happened was we took the project into bankruptcy just to hold it and started shagging all over the place for properties, the money, to get money up for the properties.
Yeah.
Finally, we decided our best bet was to go ahead and try to sell the property, even though we were in process of bankruptcy. We went down to the very last hour and sold the project, got all the money back for the investors, and we got out with our skin.
Wow. Obviously, that's a much better solution than how it could have gone, but what's the big lesson in that? What did you learn? What did you take away from this deal?
I think probably the biggest thing that I found is not having the maximum control of knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
And also knowing that all of my partners that I decided to go with were legitimate and able to do the deal. And never again would that ever happen again without having everybody do their part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, let's just, since we have you here, years and years and years of real estate investing. We've got listeners from all over the world, and some are sophisticated, successful investors, but a lot of folks are just interested in real estate, just getting started. What's some sage advice you might have for someone getting started in real estate today?
Well, my thought is, and I've always told all of my young agents this, that they need to buy something every year. It doesn't have to be big. It could be very little, but do something and try to get it to where it can carry itself and not to have to feed it with extra money out of your pocket, and do that every year of your life.
When times are good, buy real estate. When times are bad, buy real estate. You see where I learned all this stuff? I remember my first listing was in Palo Alto, and you had a house listed two doors down. You remember this?
Yes.
So I get the floor call, and there's a property that we have, our company has, which is why they're calling me. Now, we weren't in Palo Alto. We were in Sunnyvale, but this guy didn't know that. Right. He called. I'm the floor agent, and it turns out he had four properties to sell in Palo Alto. I ended up getting that listing and knowing nothing about Palo Alto, but you had the listing two doors down.
Right. Right?
So it's amazing, right? You don't even know where you're going to end up. My very first listing in Palo Alto all those years ago. Anyway, sold that property. My very first commissions check, I bought a duplex. Because you taught me that very same thing. So good stuff. All right, Jerry, thanks so much for that great story and inspiration and for all the things you do to inspire folks.
Thank you.
Our last Halloween horror story for 2014 is a doozy called The Nightmare Dream House. A couple from Missouri bought a lot in a gated community in Florida along the Atlantic Ocean. They hired a builder to build a beautiful three-story, 5,000-square-foot home that they planned to use as a vacation rental. Well, about 6 months after it was built and after they had collected rent from several vacation renters, they discovered a little bit of a problem. The builder actually built the home on the wrong lot. Oops. Hard to believe, but thanks to an error with a 2013 survey that the builder had, they goofed. They built the house in the wrong place.
Perfect.
Needless to say, the owners are pretty upset. They're now negotiating with the builder as well as the actual owner of the lot, who's probably pretty happy about the whole thing. So What are the lessons here? Well, number one, make sure you hire a reputable builder and check to see that they have adequate insurance coverage.
Right.
Pretty simple step. You'd be amazed at how many people skip that one. And of course, number two, I don't know about you, but if I'm investing nearly $700,000 in building something, even if it's not in my home state, I'm thinking it might make good sense to either check construction progress myself or hire a third party to do so.
Right.
Obviously, I wouldn't be going there to check to see if it was built on the right lot, but in going there to find out how it was going and if it was on time and whether or not the contractors were doing a good job, all that stuff, I probably would have figured out that it was on the wrong lot and saved myself lots and lots of anguish and heartache and attorney's bills.
Right.
My goodness, there is a whole bunch we can learn from things that go desperately, terribly wrong. It's been a fun year for Halloween Horror Stories.
And if you've got some out there throughout the year, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us on our feedback page and let us know that you've had something happen. And here's what we want to know. We want to know what happened. We want to know how it ended up, and we want to know what you learned. And if we pick you, I'm sure we can come up with some lush prize that we'll send you as being one of the lucky highlighted feature case studies on Halloween Horror Stories in the future. But share those with us because that's really is where the great lessons are. And it's a great exercise for you to kind of laugh at yourself a little bit.
Well, you know, funny story. We had done the Halloween Horror Stories live for many years. And I remember one particular night, it was Halloween night when we did the event. And the next day was November 1st. And we had a meeting we were going to with several of the investors. And that morning, one of the guys had a flooding in his fourplex, and the whole bottom of floor, two units were flooded. There was tons of damage, and he saw us that evening and said, "Hey, guess what? I have a Halloween Horror Story for next year already."
Yeah, it changed his whole paradigm. And again,
that's the point, is that instead of saying, "Oh man," you get through the "oh man," and it's like, okay, stuff does happen in real estate. Let's get through it. Let's get over it. Let's learn from it.
It's not personal, and that's the bottom line. It's not personal. You know, if you make a mistake. And again, I mean, with respect to the ultimate problems that some type of people get into, but if it doesn't wipe you out, if it doesn't take your life, if it doesn't maim you forever, then it probably was worth it in terms of if you get the lesson and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. Well, big thanks to all our contributors today that helped liven up Halloween Horror Stories. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and Rich Dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.